Okay, let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Oh, Lord. As always, Lord, we do need your help. We need you to hear your word, Lord, to hear what you're saying. Hear what you're saying by your spirit, Lord. And so, Lord, we're asking that you would speak through us. And it's us, Lord. We're a body. It's not just one person up here spouting off something, Lord. It's all of us. And so, Lord, we thank you for what you've been doing in these times together to speak your word and how you involve everyone, Lord, and how you speak through everyone, and be it questions, comments, or whatever, Lord. It's you, and we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for being here in our midst, Lord, and we just ask again that you would open up our hearts and minds, Lord, to hear your word and to receive your word, to receive you, to receive whatever portion of yourself that we need. Help us, Lord, to receive that. We know that we can do nothing without you, Lord. And so we're asking that you move in the way you want to move, in the way you want things said and things to go tonight, Lord. We trust you and we look to you and we're grateful for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, our God is definitely God, and you know, somebody might think it's strange that it seems like everything that's preached on Sunday, and in my case, as youth pastor, things that are said with the youth the night before, like somebody kind of wrote the script out ahead of time and said, okay, you preach on this, you teach on that, and blah, 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 and it's all together. But that didn't happen like that. It's all the Lord. It is really all the Lord. And what I believe he wants us to look at tonight is faith. Faith without works. Hence the offering song, but faith without works. And again, surprisingly, God had pastor talk on it, we talked a little bit about it last night with our youth group, but the Lord gave me this before Saturday, before he gave it to me beforehand, and so again, it's the Lord. So I think the way the Lord's going is not going to be the typical, you know, faith without works thing that maybe we're used to. We know faith. Well, let's look at what James says about it. Yeah, if we go to James 2, starting in verse 14. So he's saying, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds or no works? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do.' You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend.' You see that a person is justified by what he does, and not by faith alone."
There is the word faith alone.
Yes. But not by faith alone. That will mess up a lot of doctrine today. In the same way, was not even Rahab, the prostitute, considered righteous by what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds or faith without works is dead. Faith alone. And since Martin Luther, who was obviously pushing against the current Catholic, or at that time, the current Catholic doctrine or practices of indulgences and things, all these things. He was pushing against that, and I mean, he went so far as to say it's just faith alone, faith alone. Now, I've heard this, and I don't know if it's true or in a sense of did Martin Luther really say this, but evidently he didn't care for James because of this faith without works. And not blaming him or anything like that, just in terms of what God was giving him at that time to push against this idea of to be saved or to have your sins forgiven and all this, you had to do all these different things that the Catholic Church was saying to do, and it didn't have anything to do with faith in God. But here James is saying, a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. And when you look at Scripture, it's not just this idea of belief or faith and in a sense of believing something about, say, God or about Jesus. It does have to do with works in a sense of faith. If you have faith, it's something's going to be generated out from you, if you will, that will prove or give evidence of that you have faith. As a matter of fact, at the judgment seat of Christ, at the white throne judgment, what's the people are judged by, what everybody is judged by in terms of the standard is not, you know, it doesn't say, did you believe in Jesus Christ? Did you accept him? Or did you believe in faith alone in terms of accepting Jesus? It says books were taken out and people were judged based on what they had done. Faith without works is dead. So we can believe, as Pastor told us this morning, we can believe that Jesus rose from the dead. We can believe that Jesus saved us when he died on the cross and provided forgiveness for us for our sins. We can believe all these things, but yet if we're not in our behavior, in our thoughts, in what we say, bearing out this idea that we have faith, then it is dead. It's meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. It's a hard one to grasp a lot of times, because Paul uses works for two things. The word works for two things. The one that in the faith alone doctrine, works Paul talks about is the law of Moses. And he was telling the Jews, you don't have to do the law. You don't have to rely on the law in the sense of your salvation. And you don't have to, that covenant is not, well, Scripture says obsolete in that sense, but it's not something that like it was in the Old Testament, where that was your salvation. You did the law, you did the law, you did the law, the works of the law. But he also says, in terms of works, the word works, meaning our behavior, meaning what we do. And that's confusing a lot of times in terms of people understanding where Paul's coming from in that. So we assume that when Paul says not by faith, but not by works, we assume he's talking about, again, in terms of our current church doctrine, our church-wide, worldwide doctrine, that he's talking about behavior. He's talking about righteousness, righteous behavior. I don't think we actually come out and say that specifically, but that's what it kind of boils down to. And so out of that confusion, we glob on to the idea of faith alone. That you're only saved by faith alone, faith in this belief of things about God, belief in you know, your statements of faith, your acceptance of Jesus, your acceptance of what he did, and we flounder around, if you will, wondering why our testimony is not very good, and our effectiveness in terms of resisting sin and walking righteously before God is not very good, because we're not expecting this faith to have something, to have legs, if you will, that actually really truly do something in here. You know, it's not just oh yes, I believe, I have faith in God, and then we're at a loss to, you know, how does that get worked out? So, Lord help me here. We kind of understand it here in this church. We do kind of understand what that is, but I believe what the Lord is wanting to get this down more personal, if you will, in terms of what faith without works means. Faith without works. Let's go to Hebrews 11, verse 1. We're all familiar with that verse. Definition of faith, what it is. Yes.
Before we go
sure.
There, while yeah, we're still in chapter 2 in James, mm-hmm. Throughout that word deeds, like in verse 26 as an example, and I say it with fear and trepidation because we have a Greek scholar here, but apparently in the Greek that means toil, labor, and it brings to mind what Jesus said about the talents. You know, you were talking about standing before Jesus and having to give an account, and it's more than a head knowledge, mm-hmm. and it brings to mind, you know, what we do with those talents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did we bury it? Did we use it? Did we multiply it? But it's interesting. I've never seen that definition of deeds or works or acts before, of a laboring, a toiling.
What about a Greek scholar?
What verse is that? 24?
26, right? Verse 26 you're talking about, Ron?
Yeah, verse 26, at least in Strong's.
Deeds or works, what does that mean?
So faith without deeds or toil.
Yeah, it's the word works. It doesn't say anything about toil.
But that's what you saw in Strong's? Or?
Yeah, I'll bring it up on Strong's here. Didn't mean to sidetrack you.
That's all right.
I've never thought of that in terms of toil, or it makes so much sense, the seed, you know, the soil here so much.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the plural, too.
So works from a primary ergo to... but. To work, toil,
as an effort
or occupation, by implication.
And then okay. Below there, deed, doing,
labor, work. Okay. Yeah. So it speaks of some kind of action of some type in working, toil.
Yeah, like a sustained action.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, toil gives the impression of, yeah, it's a kind of an ongoing thing. Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you. So Hebrews 11, verse 1, a famous verse that we all know. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And then it goes on to list some of the things that the people of faith, the heroes of the faith, as we call them, what they did. And they're all from the Old Testament, which is interesting. Abel offered a better sacrifice. Enoch was taken, did not experience death. Noah being warned about things, not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. It would be interesting if Noah had faith and said, "Oh, I believe you, Lord. I have faith that you're going to send rain and you're going to destroy the earth."
Jesus did it all.
Exactly. Jesus did it all. Jesus did it all. So we're good to go, you know. Somehow God's going to snap his finger and save us all when he opens up the the waters of the deep and brings down the rain and causes all the whole earth to flood. Yeah. The idea of faith, and again, I'm not trying to knock people or anything like that, but this idea of the faith, I don't know if there's a phrase for it, but this idea of being, you know, having belief in faith, just faith. If you have faith, you can do whatever. You can move mountains. The Bible does say you can move mountains. You can say to this mountain, you know, go into the sea. But unfortunately, we kind of turned it around to if you have faith, then you're going to be prosperous. You're going to have money. You're going to have material wealth. You're going to have many, many blessings in terms of how you, you know, you're never going to be sick. That kind of thing, that kind of faith, in a sense of just faith in faith, a belief in faith. And unfortunately, that is not what God is talking about in terms of faith. When he's saying faith, when this is talking about faith in the Bible, what is the faith? What is the faith in? Is it in doctrine? Is it in a statement of faith? Is it in something you believe about someone in a sense of just intellectual knowledge? What is faith? What is God's faith? What is the faith that he is wanting us to have? What is that faith? That's a question. Ron?
That God will bring to pass what he has spoken or what he's promised. Because if you think of Noah or Abraham in these situations, that was certainly a big aspect of it.
Okay. So a faith in that God has said something, God has shown you something, and you have faith in God, a person, if you will, that he's going to make it happen. But implied in that God's going to make it happen, what's the implication for moi, for me, for you? What's the implication of that? I believe God is going to do what he said he's going to do. I have faith that he's going to do it.
No, we have to act on what it is he calls us to do. Like Noah acted on building the ark, even though he was ostracized and made fun of by all the people around him. Abraham went to a land he was unfamiliar with without knowing ahead of time anything, really.
Yeah, yeah. There was a response to that. There was something that was done. And just as you mentioned, and then Abraham taking his son to go sacrifice. I mean, Abraham was going to sacrifice his son because he had faith in God that, one, God wasn't going to tell him to do something that was, let's say, a benefit. Killing your son is not necessarily a benefit, but that God wasn't going to do something that was going to be harmful to him. Let's put it that way. And as it, you know, as the scripture says, that Abraham, if he slayed his son, God would raise him up again. So he had that faith in God. Yeah, Bill.
I think at the root of it's faith in the character of God. I mean, if you're gonna slay your son, you're trusting something higher than just believing that God is. You're trusting in the goodness of God that somehow it's going to work out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, and he was trusting in the character of God in that situation for sure. Yeah. Faith, so it was faith in a person. It was faith in just like a child would have faith in their parents that they're going to feed them, that they're going to clothe them, that they're going to take care of them, that they're going to, you know, protect them. That, you know, a child has that kind of faith in their parents. It's in their parents. It's not in, oh yeah, I've got parents and they're supposed to do this, but you know, if they don't, they have actual faith. They believe that their parents say, hey, we're going to do this, or they know if they're needing something, if they cry, they know the parents are going to be there to take care of them, to see what's the matter, what's going on, what's happening. They also have faith to know that if they mess up and do something they're not supposed to do, they have faith that the parents are going to respond appropriately with the appropriate discipline. That's the faith we have in God. That's the faith. We have it in a person. We have it in a person. And as you said, Bill, in the character of that person, who they are, who they are. Bill?
When you said earlier that's a response, faith and works are a response, I think that's really important because God is the one who initiates and we respond by faith. I think where works can get ahead of faith is when we have faith in works themselves. We can have faith in faith. You can have faith in works, that works are going to earn you something in God. So they get ahead of him and you start initiating works rather than responding to God out of faith.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Very good. Yes, exactly. It's kind of the temptations, those three temptations that Christ had, and the last one being, hey, it says, you know, he'll protect you. You won't even stub your foot on a stone. So, hey, jump off the gable here, and he's going to protect you. And basically Jesus said, no, no, no. You don't tempt God. You don't tempt him at all. We look at the faith that Peter had in coming out and walking on water, right? Now, again, we can kind of get turned around and think, Jesus, I want to walk on. You're walking on water, so I'm going to walk on water. So here I go. I'm going to walk on water. Well, it didn't quite happen like that, did it?
No, not quite.
Not quite.
A little small difference.
A little small difference, exactly. He saw Jesus walking on the water, and then obviously he had a desire to walk on the water like Jesus was, but he didn't just walk out. He said, Lord, command me. Command me. Instruct me. Tell me. Show, you know, and to walk out on the water. And the Lord said, come. And then out he came, and he was walking on the water until he took his eyes off of Jesus and he started to sink. Yeah, that faith, like you were saying, Bill, is a response to something that God, yeah, God initiates in that sense. Yeah.
So faith cometh by hearing.
Yes.
Hearing by the word of God.
Yeah.
And so you've got the two have got to be together. You have to hear from God. A lot of people say, well, it's written. Well, it's written. And, oh, yes, it's written. But you have to hear from God, and you're able to. There's a difference between reading something and hearing God say something, mm-hmm. much agree. And, you know, people want to go ahead and try it, fine. But I've not yet found anywhere in the Bible the term step out faith.
Yeah. It's not there.
I just can't find it. I don't see it. The idea. And the closest to stepping out in faith is what we just went over with Peter, who, quote, actually stepped out of the boat. So, but, like you said, Peter knew that in order for it to happen, he had to be commanded by the Lord. Come. And if he had that word, he could do it. If he had the word, he could do it. And that's, and you see the same thing even when it gets down to testing him about his son, because the word God said was to your son, but he had a previous word that said, through this seed will your descendants be. So that's why he must be able to raise him from the dead, because he had the word.
That's true. Yeah.
And always you have, always, in my mind, faith is based on the word, not necessarily the Bible per se, but the word God has spoken to us, mm-hmm. be it from the Bible or otherwise, but God has made it clear in your heart, boom. And then you can quote, step out. Then you can do like Peter, step out of the boat and expect not to sin. Because if he says come, come.
Yeah, exactly. And so his faith was in not his ability to walk on, step out of the boat and walk on water. What was his faith in? It was in Jesus, right? It was in Jesus, because when he took his eyes off, because of the distraction of the waves and all that, he started to sink. And then, of course, he did another good thing. He said, Lord, help! And the Lord came and grabbed him and brought him back up, and they walked back onto the boat. Again, his faith was in the Lord, help. I can't save myself. Lord, I need you. I need you. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, bro.
And it may be that when the Lord invited him, he imparted the faith to step out of the boat. Maybe he didn't have it before. It took the invitation from the Son of Man to have the faith to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Or he had a little bit, at least enough to ask. And then when the Lord said, come, it was more given. Because like Stan was saying, as the scripture says, you faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, yeah. And getting back to Abraham, you're right. God had given him the promise through Isaac. But if you know, he did have a son before Isaac. Okay, so, and God said, he's not the one. He's not the one where your descendants are coming from. I mean, the promise of faith that he was talking about. So it was more than just the fact that, yeah, he could raise him up again for descendants, but it was a promise. It was a promise from God specifically for this son that he was saying, go sacrifice him. So yeah, the faith in God's character, definitely, definitely. And responding to that, Hebrews 5. Did I say Hebrews 5? I'm sorry. Sorry. Same chapter, verse 5. So by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death, physical death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Pleased God. That's key. And in verse 6, and without faith, as we've discussed it and fleshed it out here, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Who earnestly seek him. It is impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is impossible to please God. So that's implying some things there. Okay, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So what is it kind of saying there? What kind of faith are we talking about that pleases God? Well, just what we've been talking about. I mean, it's that simple. I mean, Abraham, you know, obeyed God and went to sacrifice his son. Did that please God? Of course it did. Abraham, as he waited on his son, Isaac, to be born, did that please God? Because he had faith that God was going to do it, even though he was old and beyond, or particularly for Sarah, beyond childbearing age, he had faith. It pleased God. Noah building the ark pleased God. Having faith in the Lord, it's impossible without that faith to please him. And we are to please him. So it implies some works there, doesn't it? You can't please God by just, oh yeah, well, okay. Let me rephrase that a little bit. I mean, when God told Abraham that his descendants were going to be like the stars, you know, basically, you won't be able to number them in that sense. Abraham believed God, and that was considered faith, and that pleased God for sure. But God told him something. God told him something that was supposed to happen with him. So he had faith in God's character to know that God's going to accomplish this. He knew he couldn't accomplish it, but he knew God was going to accomplish it. So in his heart, this pleased God. So to have that kind of faith pleases God, and it's impossible to please God without that kind of faith. Kind of being redundant, but I think it's, I don't think you can say it enough. Because a lot of times we don't have faith. And I think this is what God is wanting us to talk tonight is it's not just faith of walking on water. There's not a need to necessarily walk on water for us on a daily basis, is there? There's not a need for us to sacrifice a son or a daughter. There's not a necessity to, you know, do these great things, speak and let this mountain go into the sea. And a lot of times we can get in this idea of faith, you know, the person, as it says in chapter 11 about the, you know, leaving bloody footprints in the snow and living in caves and being destitute and being all these things that are really, really tough and hard. And not to say that people won't go through them, but we don't necessarily see that on a day-to-day basis. But yet, God requires faith out of us. He requires faith out of us. I know myself, I mistakenly believe that, okay, Lord, bring on the hardship and the tribulation and all this stuff. When I told you back when I was into the survival stuff and everything, and being able to survive through the tribulation with all my food and guns and all that stuff. And till the Lord showed me that that was not where my safety was going to be. But I'm thinking, if all that came, then my faith would be bolstered to believe in God more, and that He would change me through that somehow. But my faith was in the environment, the trouble, as opposed to my faith being in God, which He showed me very clearly. But having faith is not just in those big things or those things that may be really, really tough and hard in a sense of things that you read about in books and read about with the martyrs, and you read about in the voice of the martyrs and the persecution of the saints and things like that. There is faith for that, and God requires faith for us to please Him. But there's something in just the day-to-day things that God is requiring faith on, that I believe God is wanting to say, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. And we talked about it before in terms of, say, dealing with sin, dealing with going through and struggling with our the sin of our personality, the sin in our sinful nature, and how we struggle with it, and how we get despondent or in despair or disappointed, or begin to believe that is God ever going to deliver me from this? Or we're in some kind of, God puts us in prisons, in situations that we don't like being in, and they're irritating and they're annoying, and we don't like them. And sometimes we begin to distrust or believe that, hey, God, what are you doing? Don't you see me? Don't you hear me? Don't you know what's going on with me? Can't you do anything? And at that point, we really don't have faith. We don't have faith in God. And we're not exercising, as a result, the works that God is looking for that would please Him in that faith. And God is saying, you still need faith. Faith in His character. Is He going to finish in me what He started? Is He going to take me through this prison, quote unquote? Is He ever going to deliver me from this thing that keeps coming up in my life, that I keep stumbling with? Is He ever going to heal me of this? Or is He ever going to, whatever it is in terms of our day-to-day lives, do we have the faith in God? Do we have the faith that bears out the works, that bears out works? Let me share a little thing that I was rereading a testimony on a brother named Vanya. He was a soldier in the Soviet Union, Christian, and God did a lot of mighty works through him. And he was persecuted, obviously, in the Soviet Union. He was an open Christian, if you will. Especially when God was doing things through him and affecting the other soldiers, he became the number one enemy of the leadership in his unit there. And in this one particular case, they were in the summertime or in the end of summer, beginning of fall. They would take soldiers and they would go out and help in the collective farms to harvest. And so his unit was out harvesting, and they had just finished up, and they were getting ready to take off. And the truck that Vanya was with, for some reason, it broke down, and they hooked up another truck to tow it. And Vanya got under to loosen up the drive shaft, so they could tow the truck. And he told them, put on the emergency brake, because I'm going under here, Well, for whatever reason, the guy forgot to put on the emergency brake. So Vanya loosens up the bolts on the drivetrain, and as soon as he loosens that last bolt, obviously there's nothing to hold the truck, and so it begins to roll. And of course, he cries out to, you know, stop the truck, stop the truck. And the way he was positioned, the wheels of the truck rolled over on his right shoulder and part of his chest and on his arm, just rolled over and was stopped. And when they finally got the truck stopped, it was sitting on his arm and chest and shoulder. They finally got the thing started and moved off the truck that was towing and moved the truck off of him. And of course, his part of his chest was crushed, his shoulder was crushed, his arm was crushed, and they put him in the hospital. He's in very, very bad pain. Obviously, they're going to have to amputate everything, shoulder, part of his lung, and take the arm. He was just in a bad, bad state. He was high fever, racked with pain, and just in a bad, bad, bad situation. And I want to read to you an example of the faith that this man, that Vanya had in his God, and how he responded to this problem, big problem that he had. And so he's in his hospital bed, and the doctor's just gone away from checking him out, and he's on his way out. So it says, when he had gone, the doctor had gone, the patient sat back to their private struggles with depression and pain and loneliness. A desperate rejection of the surgeon's words swept through Ivan's mind. His heart pounded against his injured lung. He began to be horrified at the thought of his body without an arm. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry for help come to thee. Do not hide thy face from me in the day of my distress. Incline thine ear to me. In the day when I call, answer me quickly. Somehow, Ivan got out of bed. He felt himself falling into a grief from which he could not neither pray nor hope. In a rush of anguish, he heaved himself on the edge of the bed and threw his legs over the side. He staggered wildly for balance as pain blackened the room. Desperation gave him breath. Every eye in the room was fixed on him in fear and astonishment. I cry aloud with my voice to the Lord. I make supplication with my voice to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare my trouble before him. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, thou didst know my path. I cried out to the Lord. I cried out to thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Give heed to my cry, for I am brought very low. A passing nurse stopped in the doorway and entered the room slowly. Bring my soul out of prison so that I may give thanks to thy name, for thou wilt deal bountifully with me. Guiding Ivan with her hand under his left elbow, the nurse moved him into the bed. A great joy seemed to shake his body. Ivan smiled suddenly. Thou wilt deal bountifully with me. He remembered the nurse wiping his face with a wet cloth as he sank into a blessed darkness. And then it goes on to explain the next morning about 6 a.m. He seems to be in a dream that he's breathing nicely and comfortably. There's no pain. And he even gets up and in the dream, quote unquote, and gets on the side of the bed to thank God again for this blessed dream he's dreaming, because he's not in pain. He's not feeling anything. And he prays to the Lord and thanks him for just blessing him with this little respite of no pain and kind of rest and this wonderful feeling. And then he goes back into the bed and goes to sleep again. And then he wakes up again and he realizes he's on his back as opposed to on his side, the uninjured side, to keep off of the injured side. And the nurse comes and gets ready to give him his take his temperature and freezes and looks at him and kind of turns white and backs away slowly and runs for the doctor. And of course, he's wondering what's going on. And then he realizes, hey, I'm Everything, he looks at his hand, it's all whole again. It's pink. It even still has the tan on it from when he was working in the fields. And he realizes that God totally, totally healed him. And of course, the doctors and nurses are astonished and can't believe it. But I read this to you to say, Ivan had faith in God. And it came out in works in the sense that if I was laying there like that, I mean, yes, I'd be praying, God, heal me, God, heal me, God, heal me, you know, heal me. But he went to the Lord. He had faith in the Lord that based on what he knew in the Bible, what he read about God in the Bible, what did he pray? He prayed, God, you will come to my defense. You will hear my complaint. You will deal bountifully with me. He had faith in God's character. He knew that this is what God wanted in terms of, you tell me what's going on. Tell me what's happening. You got a problem? Let me know. Cry out to me. You know, sound the trumpet in my ear and let me know what's going on. And Psalm 34 or 18, I'm not sure which it is now. Lord, help me. It's one of the two, but, you know, it talks about, you know, crying out to the Lord and you cry out to the Lord and all of a sudden the Lord's like, he stops what he's doing and he's like, what's the matter? What's happening? What? Somebody's messing with you? Wait, let me get down there and find out what's going on. And I mean, he gets on his chariot and he comes down and he's, you know, thunder and lightning and what the heck's going on down here that's messing with my child? You know, kind of thing. And Vanya, Ivan's faith, got him out of bed in pain to say, Lord, hear my complaint. Hear what's going on with me. Hear what's happening. I know you're going to deal bountifully with me if I cry out to you with what's going on. He had faith, and his faith worked out in works, if you will. And I believe God is saying the same to us. If you have faith in me, if you want to please me, that what we were told this morning by through Carol, what the Lord was saying, I want to know you. I want to hear you. Talk to me. Speak to me. Tell me what's going on. Tell me what's happening. Tell me what's going on in your life. Show that you have faith in me. Show that I'm the one that you're depending on, that I'm the one that you want to help you, that I'm the one that you know is the only one that can help you and see you through or answer your prayer or take care of you when you're hurting. I'm the one. And so that this faith in him works out in works. Our dependence, our looking to the Lord, our responding to him in the way that he would want, depending on our situation. Our works being that we have faith in him, that we look to him, that we trust him, that we every day, no matter what, any situation that goes on, I have faith that God's going to help me through this. I have a question. I have a problem. I have an issue. Lord, I need wisdom. My faith says, I ask the Lord. My faith says, I go to the Lord. I cry out unto the Lord. I tell the Lord what the issue is. I tell the Lord what the problem is. I tell the Lord, I need you. My faith is generating, if you will, or is working out in these works, this behavior, this looking to the Lord. This, I don't know how else to say it. We need faith. We need faith as we're struggling through our day-to-day routines to know by the character of God, to have faith in him, that he knows what he's doing, that he's guiding us, he's leading us. He's not ashamed of us. He's not ashamed of us. I know he is going to bring me through. I know he's going to take care of this sin that is in me that I keep coming back to him and repenting of and telling him, I know he's going to take care of this situation with this individual or this situation with my boss or the situation with my finances or whatever it is. I know the Lord's going to deal with it. I know he's going to help me through it. I know he's going to do a work in me, do a work with the situation. I have faith in him, and so I trust him. And my life, my behavior, everything I do, everything I think is focused on that, is looking to him, is my works, my behavior, is an expression. Thank you, Lord, is an expression of that. Of that faith. Faith without works. We can believe that God, in a sense, intellectually, is going to help us through. We can believe that he's going to do something for us, but it can be just nothing but words rattling around in our brain until we actually believe, in a sense, that, yes, I believe in his character, that he's going to do it. I believe it. I believe it. And I'm doing, I'm aligning my life. I'm making every effort to put myself in a position, if you will, to partake of that, partake of him, partake of...
Align yourself.
Align myself, thank you. Yes, align myself. Yeah, align myself, thank you. Faith without works is dead. Yes, Bill.
Ascribe greatness to our God the Rock.
Yes, ascribe. Yes, ascribing greatness.
Having faith.
Yeah, exactly, having faith. Exactly, ascribing faith, ascribing greatness as an act of faith. Thank you. Yes, ascribing greatness to him, which says, that's who I'm depending on. That's who I'm standing on, if you will. That's who is going to help me. That's who I'm, my life is going to be dependent upon, because he is great, because he is the one that is moving in my life.
Is that book, is that a biography or an autobiography?
It's a biography. It's a biography. It's, well, it's based on what he shared, what went on with him. But
there was an aha moment that's not described in the book, because he went from pointing out his complaint to thanking God for the answer.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's there, but the actual... whatever changed, I'd call that hearing from God.
Yeah, yeah. That would definitely be hearing from God, definitely. But also the act of getting up and sharing his complaint was, he knew, hey, I can...
That was faith.
That was faith, yeah. That was faith.
And I think that was pleasing too.
And that was definitely pleasing to the Lord, yes. Yeah, exactly. And so, and then also what you said in terms of ascribing greatness. Well, that's what he was doing. He was ascribing greatness to the Lord. That's what he was doing.
Made his appeal.
Made his appeal. And he was ascribing and saying, hey, Lord, here I am. You know, yeah, Ron?
Even the making the appeal is an act of faith. Mm-hmm. You know, to cry out, you were talking about Psalm 34, I think. But just the act of crying out involves faith.
Yes.
Knowing that the Lord will hear and will answer and will deliver.
Yeah, yeah. Bill?
It occurred to me, too, that simply denying ourselves, you know, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. All of the commandments that represent our walk of salvation start with a faith and a belief in the originator, the mm-hmm. God who commanded. You know, it's part of what Stan said about a scriptural basis, but... Who of us can do what God asks of us if we don't fundamentally have belief in the process which ascribes belief in the God?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And I believe the Lord is saying tonight to each one of us right now, have faith that what I have you going through right now, I will accomplish what is necessary. I will bring you through what is necessary. I will give you what you need. I will show myself strong to you. I will, all the things that we want to say, in terms of our trust in God, takes that faith. It takes that faith. And we're going to need more of that faith in him as we go. And I think he's saying, Just like he said this morning, I want to hear you. I want to hear, just like Vanya got out and ascribed to the Lord greatness in terms of sharing his complaint and looking to the Lord and saying, I know you will deal bountifully with me in this situation. So that's what the Lord is wanting to say, I believe. It's not just faith to walk on water. It's faith to take each day as he brings us through and provides us all our little trials and tribulations and things that we end up going through. Ascribe to him greatness. That's a good one. Ascribe to him greatness. And like Stan said, yeah, there was a point after his crying out that he did hear from God because he began to thank him. He began to thank him. Thank you. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, Lord, I pray that you give us more of your faith, Lord, because the faith comes from you. It comes from hearing your word. It comes from hearing you. And we're going to need that, Lord. We're going to need the faith in you as we draw closer to the end of this age. Individuals, Lord, individuals on our day-to-day walk with you, on our day-to-day dealing with situations. And as Pastor said this morning, Lord, we need to wake up and say, Lord, what is it that you have for me today? And whatever that comes across, Lord, to know that you are in control, that you are there. And if it's anything that, like Ivan, Lord, where we need to cry out to you and just ask for help and to hear you and thank you for what you're doing or going to do. I don't even know if Ivan at that time knew exactly what was going to happen. Don't know, Lord, but he did know that he could trust you, and he did know he heard from you. And that's what we want, Lord, each and every day, to hear from you, for our faith to grow stronger in you. In you, Lord. In you. So that we will not be of little faith, but we will be of great faith because of you, by your life, by your spirit. And Lord, by your spirit, remind us that if we're knowing that we don't have the faith, that we ask you for it, that we look to you and say, Lord, I need more faith in you. Show me the way. Show me how to pray. Show me what I need to do. And then, Lord, let us have grateful hearts, knowing that you will answer our prayer, that you will answer and come and see about us when we cry out to you, and that you will take care of us and guide us and give us wisdom as we need it, and love us and show yourself not only strong with us, Lord, but show your love toward us, your affection toward us, your delight in us that will help us each day. Bless you, Lord. Bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.